lift your name on high. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So we are going to speak on the subject of the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Why is the blessing of Abraham relevant to us? Somebody says that, "I don't want the blessing of Abraham, I want my own blessing." Ladies and gentlemen, the blessing of Abraham is relevant to us because of which Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Bible says that he was made a curse because he was crucified or hanged on the cross. And the reason why he was crucified is specifically for the blessing of Abraham to come upon the Gentiles who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ makes the blessing of Abraham relevant unto us. And I need to make you to understand that actually Abraham lived in the days of Jesus. According to John chapter 8 verse 56, he experienced the days of Jesus. We in the New Testament are enjoying the days of Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us that before we even got to enjoy it, Abraham went ahead to enjoy the period that we are enjoying. This is the period of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ came carrying the kingdom upon his shoulder. So Abraham enjoyed this blessing that we are enjoying. Actually, what we are enjoying right now that we call blessing is the blessing of Abraham. But we can say that it is the blessings that we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. We can say that it is the features of the kingdom arrangement that Jesus brought. In other words, there was an arrangement that God had in times past, which Jesus Christ came to bring it back unto us. Hallelujah. And the first person who enjoyed it, as in our scripture, is Abraham, the father Abraham, the patriarch Abraham. He enjoyed it. Hallelujah. So the kingdom arrangement existed before, during the time of Abraham. You must know that Abraham did not live under the law. At his time, Moses had not been born, and there was no Ten Commandments, there was nothing. God just had a relationship with mankind. And God came down and had a relationship with Abraham, just as God has come down in Christ Jesus to have a relationship with us. Actually, what happens is that in God's dealings with mankind, he picks one person throughout human history. He picks one person and exemplifies in the person his will for everybody. So that you look at that person, you look at how God dealt with the person, and it gives you an idea of how God wants to deal with everybody. You look at God's blessings upon the person, and you have an idea of how God wants to bless everybody. So the person becomes an example. He becomes a showcase. He becomes a message to all of us that this is how God wants our lives to be. This is the blessing that God wants us to enjoy. And so in our text, the Bible says that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We know that he came to redeem us from our sin. But here the scripture says that it isn't only our sins that Jesus came to redeem us from, but he came to redeem us from the curse. Why did he have to redeem us from a curse? The Bible says that so that the blessing of Abraham, the kingdom arrangement, will come upon us in Christ Jesus. And actually, the reason why Jesus Christ was crucified, he could have died any other means, and then he would have redeemed us from our sins, for example. He could have died, in any other form that you can think about, the way that people die, and it would have been okay. But you see, he had to be crucified, because the scripture had gone ahead of him saying that if you are crucified, then you are cursed. And so in God's endeavor to redeem us from the curse, he had to put Jesus Christ on the cross or on the tree. He had to let him die by crucifixion so that he will become a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham can come upon us. So specifically, the number one reason why Jesus Christ was crucified is so that he will be cursed. It's so that he would take away the curse of the law in order for the blessing of Abraham to come unto us. So if we cherish the old rugged cross, then we must cherish what we call the blessing of Abraham. Or if you like, we must cherish the kingdom arrangement that God had with Abraham as an example, as a foretaste for us to enjoy the same thing once we are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So number one, these are the blessings of Abraham. If you like, these are the features of the kingdom arrangement. Some of the features, I must say, of the kingdom arrangement. Number one is that God didn't punish Abraham for his sins. And that is one of the features of the kingdom arrangement of God, that he does not punish us for our sins. Why does he not do that? Because somebody took the punishment away. Somebody was punished for our sins. Jesus on the cross took our sins, and then he took the punishment for our sins. So God does not have to punish somebody again for a punishment that he has already put upon Jesus Christ. That is why God doesn't punish us for our sins. He can train us, but he does not punish us for our sins. I'm talking about those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We enjoy the blessing of Abraham, or the kingdom arrangement that God has for mankind under Christ. Number two is that Abraham was called the friend of God. In other words, in the kingdom arrangement that we should enjoy today in Christ Jesus, we are the friends of God. That is why John chapter 15 verse 15, Jesus Christ said, I no more call you servants, I call you friends, because whatever my Father showed me, I have shown it unto you. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ calls us his friends. God knows that he has to befriend us. He is not just our Father, but he is also our friend. It's beautiful. He knows that if he does not befriend us, we are going to befriend the world. Hallelujah. So you know that in your home, you have a father and then you have got friends. But your father must be your friend. Your mother who brought forth to you, you are the daughter, you are the son, but she must be your friend. That is very important. And that is what God is to us. He is not just our father. We are not just sons of God, but we are his friends. In other words, we can tell him everything. Because what did Jesus say about friendship? He says that I call you friends because everything that I heard from my father, I've shown you. So as far as Jesus is concerned, in that scripture, friendship is telling everything in you to another person. Or if somebody is your friend, the person knows everything that you are going through, everything that you know, so to speak. That means that in God being our friend, he wants us to be free to tell him everything in our lives and not to hide things from him, or not hide really, you cannot hide it, but not to keep him away from things. He wants to be interested in every aspect of our lives. Hallelujah. Not just our spiritual lives, but the totality of our being. I don't see why God should give me a body and not be interested in my body. I don't see why God should give me a mind and say that, well, I'm not interested in your mind. All that I'm interested in is your spirit. Then who gave me the body? Then what should I do with the body that you gave me? Hallelujah. God has a will for your body life. God has a will for your mind life. He has a will for your spirit. He has a will for the totality of your being. And that is friendship. God wants us to introduce him to every aspect of our lives. Hallelujah. Because he has a plan for it. That is why he gave us the Holy Spirit as a friend. He says that the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all the time. That is wonderful. So in the kingdom arrangement, God wants us to be free with him. Hallelujah. There was a time Abraham even laughed at God, and God didn't punish him for the laughter. I mean, God was cool. He laughed in doubt, but God said, yes, still I'll do my work towards you. It's wonderful. He laughed at God that I am too old to even have a child. Sarah also did the same thing. And God said, but I will do my word all the same. Do you know why God does that? Even when we doubt him as his friends, he still assures us so that we can believe. Hallelujah. Because some people think that God is saying that, look, if you doubt, you are born. If you doubt, he will punish you. He's not like that. If you doubt him, he will tell you that still, I will perform my word towards you. Why? So that you will move out of doubt into what? Faith. He doesn't cut you off. He doesn't cut you off. Hallelujah. He will rather lift you up. He will speak words that will lift you up from your low place of doubt, from your low place of fruitlessness. He will lift you up so that what? So that you would believe. And that is what happened to Abraham. He laughed at God. He laughed till he fell on his face and he was laughing as if he couldn't control himself. I mean, you laugh and you're on the ground and you are laughing and God is standing there. When he got there, he said, but I will do my way. And Abraham believed. Hallelujah. Are you not excited about a God like that? Who gives you the chance to believe again, even when you doubt? Who does not write you, or who is a friend? Who will not discard you when other people are discarding you? Because if you have a true friend, when you are in trouble and it is your friend, it is even your fault, he will not leave you and say that you caused it, you bear it, I've left you alone. When you are fine, then I'll come to you. God is not like that. He doesn't desert us when we sin. He doesn't do that. He comes to us. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Because if he deserts us, then the devil will come around. But God knows he must be our friend. Otherwise, he will befriend the world. It's wonderful. In the kingdom arrangement of Jesus, he wants us to have a new mind about God. Amen? Now, the third thing about the blessing of Abraham is that he was comparable to nations. In other words, he took himself as a nation. He was just a person. He had a household or a family. But he thought like a president. He thought like a king. Do you know how come? Because God told him that I've changed your name from Abram, which means an exalted father, to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. So when God changed his name to the father of many nations, suddenly he was thinking national. He was thinking national. Afterwards, he went to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah, because his mind was that I must take nations for God. Not just individuals, but I must disciple nations for God. Hallelujah. So you need to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. In a kingdom arrangement, God puts his kingdom in your heart. That means that you are carrying a whole nation. That means that just like Abraham, you as you sit down, you are a nation in yourself. Because why? A nation called the kingdom of God is inside of you, and you become an ambassador or a representative of the nation. Where you show up, the nation has shown up. Hallelujah. What you speak must be in the interest of the nation that is within you, that you are representing, that you are an ambassador of. And so Abraham taught national. No wonder 5 kings came to defeat some 4 kings, and these 4 kings included the king of Sodom. And then Abraham went against the 5 kings who came to defeat the 4 kings, and he destroyed them and recovered all the goods and told the king of Sodom, these are the goods. I mean, this is yours. Hallelujah. It's wonderful.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
It means that he taught national. He goes somewhere and he enters into the presidential palace because he thinks about himself as a father of many nations, as a ruler of nations, as a king of nations. That's why we call our leaders the father of the nation. Hallelujah. It means that you are the king. God makes you a king. He took him from Ur of the Chaldees, and the Chaldeans are the Babylonians. And right from Genesis chapter 11 or so to Revelation chapter 18, where we have the last mention of Babylon, mystery Babylon, is standing for the religious order. God has always been calling people out of religion into the kingdom, out of slavery into rulership. Hallelujah. And that is what Jesus Christ came. When he came saying that the kingdom is upon my shoulder, he was saying that I'm taking you away from religion and I'm taking you into kingship that God had for you in the beginning in Adam, in the beginning in Abraham. Hallelujah. So he was comparable to nations, and that is how you must think. You must not think about yourself small, because God wants to do big things with you. God wants you to affect many people and mass, many people and block. It means that at a time. That is why Jesus Christ said, go and disciple nations. Please, he didn't say go and disciple individuals. Go and preach the gospel to individuals. He said what? He said that we should go and teach nations. He put the ultimate there so that our thinking will be lifted up from ordinary people to the level where we know that we can affect people groups. We can affect nations for him. Hallelujah. Because you affect individual, the most important thing is that the whole nation's culture is affected. And the gospel is supposed to shape the culture or the lifestyle, the way that Ghanaians think, the way that Africans think, the way that we do our thing. The gospel must get there. Hallelujah. The gospel must not only sit in our spirit and be limited to Sunday when we come, Sunday evening main session when we come. No, the gospel must infiltrate every aspect, because God, the kingdom of God, is a system. A system is an intertwined thing. A system is something that links to the other. That is why we call it a system. We call it an arrangement. We call it a scheme. It is one. So you cannot compartmentalize your life and say that, well, I worship God in spirit. I don't worship him with my body. You understand that? The whole thing, your spirit affects your body. Your body affects your spirit, your mind. Every aspect of the totality of your being must be visited by the kingdom of God. That is why Jesus Christ said that the kingdom of God is like a woman who is like a yeast that a woman took and put it in a dough, into 3 measures of dough or meal, until everything was leavened. Or the yeast, which is the kingdom of God, affected 3 dough. It's talking about your spirit life, your soulish life, or your mind, your will, your emotions, and your physical life. The kingdom of God is supposed to infiltrate 3 doughs, 3 aspects of your life, until your physical life is livened by the kingdom of God, and your thinking is livened by the kingdom of God, and your spirit is livened by the kingdom of God. So, we are comparable to nations. Let's think big. When we are praying for nations, for people groups, don't feel small that, look, it's me, a little person. No! You are a nation. And when you stand in your elements as an ambassador, all of the armies of your nation is backing you. They are national armies of the kingdom of God. And they are all backing you. All the angels are backing you. Hallelujah. And so we are great and powerful. Are you not excited about that? Jesus did this for us so that we can disciple nations. Now, number four is that the blessing of Abraham affected his marriage in such a manner that even when somebody had an eye for the wife, God would deal with the person who has an eye for the wife of Abraham or Sarah, just to keep Abraham intact. And that is the blessing that we have in our family or relational life. Anything that belongs to you, nobody can touch it. Hallelujah. When I got to know this as a young person, unmarried, I was still schooling, I told the Lord, that Lord God, I don't know who I'm going to marry, but whoever you have for me, nobody can touch the person. Hallelujah. And if anybody has an eye for the person, you will deal with the person. Hallelujah. I cannot tell you how these things has worked itself out in my life. I'm saying this to make you to know that the blessing of Abraham, the kingdom arrangement, is real. God is going to preserve your husband from the juju of other ladies. God is going to prevent your husband from the juju of other ladies who come telling stories so that he takes big money and give it to your to the lady. And then you know that there's struggle at home, but big money has gone out because somebody came to deceive your husband with a story. And you know, when women cry before men, you don't feel comfortable, especially if you're a good man. You do all you can to help the person. But you see, God can preserve your husband for your sake. And God can preserve your wife for your sake from anybody who has a bad mind and a bad eye, so that you don't struggle, you don't police people like, hey, where are you going? And where did you go at this time? And you are my husband, and you are my to-be, and where have you been? And why are you wearing this? You are wearing this for this person. I mean, it's all, I don't want to use the word. It's unnecessary. Hallelujah. God is a better police. You are not there. Abimelech tries it. Pharaoh tries it. Abraham is not there, but God is there. And God said, you are a dead man. The person you have a mind to recruit or to marry, the person is somebody's wife. Be careful. And then you close the womb. These are blessings we enjoy under the kingdom arrangement of Jesus. I don't know how excited we should be about that. I think we should be. Hallelujah. We should be. Wonderful. So that is the fourth blessing of Abraham that we enjoy in Christ Jesus today. Number five is that Abraham was rich materially. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of material things. Genesis chapter 24 verse 1. Abraham was rich in silver and then in gold and in all things. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. All things means all things. All things means that he had blessings everywhere. He had blessings everywhere, in everything. Hallelujah. He had blessings. You look at Abraham's portfolio, financial portfolio, and you see that he has all things. He has bonds, he has stocks, he has various types, of every kind of investment. He has sheep, he has goat, he has aconfiam, he has got chicken, he has got donkeys, he has got camels, he has got birds, he has got all types of birds and all that. So if there is a bird flu and they are dying, the aconfiam doesn't have the flu. And Abraham is so rich. If there is a disease that is taking away the donkeys, the horses are there, or the camels are there. He was rich in all things. And that's the kind of all-rounded blessing that God wants to give to us, his people. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Now, in the kingdom arrangement of Jesus Christ, we enjoy riches. Anybody who says that it is okay to be poor, he doesn't know God. He doesn't know Jesus. Because Jesus was provided for. He was so abundantly provided for, only that he used it to bless other people so that they didn't criticize him. That you keep your money to yourself. You are rich. You alone, you are chopping your money. You should let other people, I don't want to say chop your money. You know that popular song. But I don't want, God wants us to be rich and use it to bless people. Say that I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Hallelujah. God wants us to be materially good so that we bless other people who are unfortunate, who are not like us, not judging them, but being good. Just as God was good to you, he will be good to the other people also. So number six is that righteousness was imputed to Abraham. One of the blessings of Abraham is that righteousness was imputed to him. In other words, righteousness was put upon him on the basis of the fact that he believed God. He believed God, and God said that the believing is equal to righteousness. Hallelujah. And so we are righteous not because of our works, not because of what we do, not because of what we have done, but because Jesus Christ took our sins and he gave us his righteousness. The righteousness has been imputed upon us. And it's not a common righteousness. It's not the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's not the righteousness of the law. It is the righteousness of God the Father himself. Hallelujah. Says that we have been made the righteousness of God in him. That is how blessed we are in Christ Jesus. And the receipt of our righteousness is that Jesus was raised from the dead. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 verse 25 that he was delivered for our sins and he was raised for our righteousness or our justification. In other words, because we were sinners, Jesus Christ was crucified, and because we were righteous, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So his resurrection is just a receipt of the fact that when he took your sins on the cross, he totally dealt with your sin. And so in the eyes of God, all the sins of mankind have been dealt with by Jesus. They only have to believe it. They only have to believe it. But that is a spiritual reality, that he took away the sins of everybody, whether the person prayed or not, whether the person was a believer or not, whether the person liked it or not. He took everything, because he took our place. He was alive. He took responsibility for our lives. Hallelujah. Because he started us on this journey in the first place, and he is a responsible God. He will take up our place and bear our sins and impute, account righteousness unto us. This righteousness, according to Romans chapter 8 verse 4, is accomplished or fulfilled in us, not by us, in us who believe in Jesus. All right, now let's move on. Number seven is that God revealed himself to Abraham. A seventh blessing of Abraham is that God revealed himself to Abraham. Genesis chapter 17 and then verse 1 and chapter 18 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 17 verse 1. It says that when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, 18 verse 1, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Don't you love this? I love this. I love this. Hallelujah. You see, because sometimes we think that God will not come to us because we are not praying. I'm not saying don't pray. Hallelujah. But you see, in all the instances that God appears to Abraham, Abraham was not in prayer. Sometimes we have the idea that it is when we are praying that God will appear to us. And when we are sitting under our tree and we are chewing our chewing steak, or we are minding our own business, just relaxing, God cannot come because you are relaxing. But ladies and gentlemen, the blessing of Abraham was that he was just there and God appeared unto him. And that is the kind of blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. Whether you are doing spiritual things or not, God can appear unto you. Hallelujah. When I talk about God appearing unto you, I'm not talking about physically. Amen? Because he wants to appear unto us in our spirits. He wants the eyes of our spiritual understanding to be enlightened, that we will know him. Amen? One of the best revelations and great revelations come when, not when people are praying. Sometimes you think that, well, maybe the pastor, every time he's praying, that is how come God gives him revelation. It's not like that. You see, but if you are aware of the kingdom arrangement that Jesus Christ has put us into, whether you are washing clothing, you are cooking in the kitchen, you are doing your secular work, the word, the revelation of God can come unto you. Hallelujah. Suddenly God will open your eyes and you say, wow, the Lord is in this place. I didn't know that he can come to my workplace. I didn't know he can come to the kitchen. I didn't know even when I'm in the classroom, God can appear unto me. Sometimes he can appear unto you just to enhance your understanding.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on high.